So Rob,
My
I
fucking
no.
bench has more points, more than double the points of my lineup.
Here's the thing. In your teenage years, I think you were what? You were 17, 18 years old.
Uh-huh.
You were a part of a group named My Friend Sam.
Yeah.
And you wrote a song. You remember that song was called?
There
It
were
was
a
called
lot.
Life is the Pits. And what you
Don't
did,
say
and
pits.
what you did was you set off a chain of events. This is a good reminder to everybody that writing songs is not just like a hobby or an artistic endeavor. You're messing with the universe. You are pulling at threads that hold all of us together on this plane of existence. And if you pull the wrong thread, it will destroy you.
So you're saying I prophesize this?
I mean, I think that gives you agency.
You just said life is the pits, and pits was my 40-point benched player.
That was his name? Come on. Of course. Of course that's what I did. Are you kidding me?
Fighting the Frizzies at 11.
Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton,
as this week we discuss Mr. Hanke's Christmas classics and what makes it great
or otherwise.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all Know Your Rights.
Welcome.
Welcome, everybody.
Why not?
Why not?
Merry Christmas.
Merry fucking Christmas.
I
This is all South Park references.
I swear to gosh, what's wrong with me? I almost like in sitting down to do this, I had this thought in my head. Actually, it was earlier, and I'm not doing it. But in my head, I was like, what would happen if when we went to record this without telling Rob, I just recorded the entire episode of Santa Claus?
You know what? I don't know if it would have cheered me up or just made me more angry.
Well, I just don't think I could sustain it is the reality.
No, because I think you're a little upset right now.
I mean, I'm at peace.
How dare
what
you?
What I'm learning is that care. Everyone around just me care. Is far more competitive than I am. I'm getting that sense of things that everyone around me is far more like win this thing than I am. It's Christmas time, man. I'm almost off of work. I'm grading a lot, but feel the joy, feel the spirit. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
This is
Merry Christmas,
rights.
Colton.
Merry
I love you,
Christmas,
buddy.
Rob. Man,
still a little bit of a little bit of Schadenfreude your direction. I need you to lose just so I can. Even though you kind of ruined that for me too. Apparently, there's some other tournament afterwards where I was like, all right, if I lose. And Colton loses, fine. I get fifth place. I get first pick.
Can we have to remind ourselves this is not just a conversation that we are having. We are recording an episode of
there
a
are
podcast
people listening.
For
you're right.
International viewers. Hello, everybody. My name
Hello.
Is Colton. His name is
Hola.
Rob.
Hola. Yo soy Roberto.
We are hosts of a songwriting podcast, but we also made the huge mistake of being in the same fantasy football league. And that's what you're getting. A sense of I think we should honestly cut out most of what just happened.
No, it's all in there. But
that was a note I was going to give you from last episode, which is we got to stop the fantasy football stuff.
Okay. Well, you know what? It might just happen. But that also fits into our plans to where we might make some New Year's resolutions at the end of this episode.
That's fair. Is it the end? Okay, we can do the end. I'm ready for that.
I mean, if you want to do it now.
I think also I have to decide what we're doing.
Yes.
After this, this is all going to be great, everybody. This is
you
great.
Get,
but
you get first album dibs
for this episode. Do you want to remind us what we're looking at this episode?
We are going to be doing Mr. Hanke's Christmas classics. Oh boy,
you really set us up for success, man. I'm really happy. What's going on?
I enjoyed it. I don't know how you felt about it, but it's going to be really difficult for us to discuss the lyrics.
Much like. I think what I did to this podcast when I chose Monster Mash, which for our Halloween two-parter, which I think people seem to like because actually people queued it up on Halloween, which I was very pleased by. But
I appreciate it, everybody.
It was a very difficult endeavor. The whole, like, you know, the novelty of talking about Monster Mash in the first 5 minutes is like, oh, ha, ha, ha. And then the next 30, you're like, okay, But this is a conversation podcast. We need to say things that are interesting. And I'm having that same fear with this episode because I think the satire of South Park and like genuine like songwriting bona fides, there's enough of Matt Parker or Matt Stone, Trey Parker, good Lord,
that's all right.
Book of Mormon and the South Park film, and like they can write songs. Like they are good. Yeah. I think there is only so much I know how to say about these songs, but it was a nice memory. I haven't seen South Park in like 10 years, so I'm not sure.
I know that they've been crushing it recently, given we won't get political or anything, but I feel like they've had some really good social commentary.
Oh, I think we could be fair to say, fuck, no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I hope we're not losing any listeners off of that, but yeah, I think that's how we feel. I shouldn't even say I think, but that's how we feel, but you know, we're trying not to get too political on this podcast, I believe. Unless, is that a New Year's resolution for you, Colton?
I mean, I don't think...
More politics?
I think calling out is not political. I think that's just like, just ethical.
I feel like 49% of the country might argue against that.
That's unethical. Maybe cut all this out. I don't know. Wait,
welcome everyone. Just
I don't want to get fired for my job, so which is why it's ethical, by the way. But I don't want to get fired, so unfortunately, we'll have to cut that out.
I got you.
Professors are fired.
I got you. So what previously was said has been cut out. How's everybody doing?
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas again. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
Man, no. So this is also though kind of our New Year's Eve. Usually we've had like a New Year's Eve kind of an episode, but the way the calendar turns out, this is also our final episode of 2025.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We get to kind of reflect on what we've done. Yeah. This is episode 73, I believe. So I don't know what to call our 70s, the brevity 70s.
Yeah. Did we have a thing for 60s even?
I think mixedies.
Oh, well, they're not all winners. So, the heavenly 70s? I don't know.
Heavenly, brevity, levity.
Well, I think it's better to plan for the 80s. Let's have a meeting. We'll plan for what to call the 80s, and that'll be the deal. Yeah. Do you want to take a guess? I have right now. I queued up. I worked on the analytics. I did some analytic things. Do you want to guess what was our most listened to episode of 2025? Meaning... of the episodes we produced in 2025, off the top of your head, what do you think was the most listened to?
I'll tell you this much. I got pissed off because I opened up my phone to try to look at the episodes we've done, and the first thing I saw was fantasy football.
Well, that's gonna hurt your heart, man. Don't go there. So, good to see you, by the way. I like your face.
Nice. Your face is lovely.
Beautiful face. Yeah, take a wild guess.
I'm going to try to do an educated guess. Let me see here. Oh.
You're not going to guess. You're going to take an educated, otherwise known as a guess, by the way, but that's fine.
I'm doing research to educate myself on this guess.
And then guess. That's fair. I'm in paper grading mode, so I'm very sensitive to language right now. I'm sorry, everybody.
By the way, on the previous episode, you have a typo.
Oh, hamburgers.
There we go.
That's a butters for everybody.
That's very good. Nice reference. Nice pull. I'm going to say the most popular episode was, I'm going to say it was a song episode.
Shocking, because I do think we've gained traction with the song episodes, which is nice.
Yeah. So in Song Spotlight, part of me wants it to be Bohemian Rhapsody.
It is not by a wide margin. It is not.
So it's one of the other two that, so, did we do, Fleetwood Mac? Did we do that this year? It was Fleetwood Mac.
We did. Yeah. It is, by what I would say is a crazy margin, the most listened to episode of this year was Fleetwood Mac, The Chain.
Cool. Don't say the exact number.
Oh, would never.
Unless you
want to. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but we mainly us. I don't want to embarrass, but I am still shocked by that. And I don't know who it is, but whoever is just really into Fleetwood Mac, and that just, we were just on fire that episode.
International listeners really love Fleetwood Mac.
I would say so. And second to that, I'll give you the top three. Number two, Fiona Apple.
Good. Amen, everybody. I like it.
And number two, Rilo Kiley.
Rilo, that does make sense. It totally ruined my Spotify rap. Like at the end of the year, they're just like, you listen to a lot of Rilo Kiley, especially in the month of March.
I actually have to ask you, do they give you, because I mean, I don't have Spotify, so I don't get any kind of deal. I'm waiting on my Nintendo Switch summary, which always depresses me, so I'm not excited for that. I noticed that YouTube tried to give me an end of the year summary.
Same.
And I went, no.
I literally had zero interest.
It'll be like, you listen to Charlie Brown Christmas 50 times.
Yeah, probably my YouTube would have probably been like, you ASMR'd a lot. I'm like, dude, I have trouble sleeping. All right.
Are you okay? Yeah, but did Spotify tell you what's like the most listened to artist you have?
The most listened to artist was Rilo Kiley.
Oh, no kidding. It was. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I just use Spotify to listen to what we're going to discuss.
You're a huge Rilo head, man. That's all you talk about.
Mason in Ireland, my most listened to podcast. Now, that is for leisure. I love that show so much.
That's fair.
My most listened to song, and it threw me off for a minute, was Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. And when it showed that, all I could think is, no, I don't remember throwing it on that much. I totally forgot. I made it my alarm clock. So my alarm clock connects to the Spotify. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I guess I did wake up to that about 300 days out of the year. So, yeah, I listened to that song. But
The people who know Rob well know that the idea of like a song that is his alarm clock being listened to multiple times is it's I don't know how it's ironic. There's irony in there. I'll have to locate it later.
It got snoozed multiple times. That's for sure.
There it is. And there's that. It's funny. I feel like I have more like New Year's things to talk to you about than Christmas. But I think we're going to get to Christmas. But
we have to.
Eventually. Yeah. Right? But what I've noticed is the last couple meaning two, we've only had two New Year's episodes we've had.
Yeah.
We've done like a best song or whatever. I was actually trying to prepare for that. And I was like, you know, I don't think I listened to a lot of new records that came out this year. And when I gazed at like, God help me, but like the New York Times, who has like, they have the worst music critics ever. I think
take that New York Times.
Man, I just cannot like, I feel so far away from the kind of like the cultural zeitgeist with music specifically. And it's not like I want to be. I don't want to be on an island. I really don't.
Uh-huh.
Like Bad Bunny. I don't get it, man. He was good in Happy Gilmore too.
I mean, ish. It feels like every drum beat is that like that do that do cat do that do cat do that do cat. I'm like, all right, dude. You know how to market. There you go.
It's just I don't know what it is. I don't have like ill feelings towards Bad Bunny. Like I'm not the like glad he's doing the Super Bowl. I mean, who cares? I don't care. But
football, anything right now, I don't care.
Yeah, seriously. I don't think I've watched the halftime show for Super Bowl in a very long time. It's never been good. But I just can't. I don't know, man. It's weird. Like I feel very. This is how I used to be anyway. Like I was not someone who listened to albums when they came out. I'm always like 2 years behind
music. I tend to be behind myself. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, this podcast is funny because I think initially I was like, oh, we'll be like more listening to things as they come out in that. But I think it's the opposite. And I really enjoy that.
Oh, that's rough because I have a particular New Year's resolution. That's
hilarious.
That.
Okay. That's so good. We'll save that. But I don't know. It's the same with, well, books is a little different, but I think I've always been a bit, it's easy to get caught up in the wave, right? Of when things come out and everything feels so like new and immediate. And like, even within a couple of weeks, that sheen is gone and it's just the album. And I will say one thing. I did reassess the new Decemberist album that actually came out last year.
Okay.
I was much harder on it than I feel today about it. I think it ends up being middle of the pack. But a nice middle of the pack.
I get you. I think the Hives had a really good album released, I'm pretty sure, this year.
Oh my God, they did put out an album, didn't they?
Yeah. And by the way, your Kulturabis from forever ago, Circus Survive did not release an album this year.
They did not. You know what? That is exactly right. I was very certain they would. And also, good, I think.
Yeah.
I think they need more time in the oven.
I have another 6 years because I said that Tool will not release an album for another 7 years. And so far this year, they have not released an album. So
well,
here's
we're gonna
six more, everybody.
We're doing New Year's resolutions in our third segment. Do we want to put down any Culture Robinsons for 2026?
I got a huge gamble, and I don't actually think I'm right, but I just got to put the energy out there.
That's fair.
Dodgers three-peat.
Oh, well, that's okay. Well, that's, yeah. I mean, after the Edwin Diaz signing, I'm more prone to believe it.
Yeah, I like it. I do almost feel bad that we signed him. And I feel like we're going to trade for, what's it, Scrubble or?
Scrubble? I don't think
we need to, but I just wouldn't be surprised if we land him.
I know. I mean, the thing is, there's always the logic of like, well, get the best player on the market. That, and like, I think the Dodgers have done that, and it's hard to argue with results in the last 2 years at least.
Man.
But I don't think anyone came into this offseason thinking the Dodgers needed more starting pitching. And I don't like the idea of giving up a lot of excess starting pitching to get him, because we do not have the whole myth of the Dodgers having too many starting pitchers. People obviously don't watch the Dodgers regular season. Half that rotation,
all
goes
of them
on
go
the,
down. Yeah.
And then we need our Emmett Sheehans, or we need our Robleskis,
But here's the thing. We also have a minor league system that is pristine, and we draft late. We've been winning for so many years, so we're always drafting late. So clearly we have fantastic scouts.
We definitely do. I just worry that I think it would require emptying a lot of those assets, including people who are major league ready now.
Yeah.
That have been pitching. To do it. And also, this is like a very, like, I don't want to trade away Tyler Glasnow. Like, what the hell? Like, he's great.
It's basically being a Dodgers fan right now. The spoil of riches means we're billionaires. Just going like, I don't really feel comfortable dropping that $1 million. The Dodgers are going to be fine.
In no other area of my life, though, do I get to have this feeling. So I'm like,
it's true. Let's hold on to that.
I'm like, I'm counting pennies, but I'm like, you know what? Go ahead, splurge. Get the...
Yeah, don't be frugal, man. We're lucky.
I have to say, with the kind of like moving into the new year, something I've like learned to do during the offseason now, I recently purchased, it went on sale for like $8. I purchased MLB The Show 2025.
Yeah.
It is incredible.
It's awesome. I have 2K23 and I'll still play it. But I play the My Player mode, to where I just pretend that I, you know, pulled off a childhood dream.
See, I tried doing that for 2025, and I'm not good. I'm middling at the high school age. Like, my guy's not doing well. And I did, although I think I messed it up. And I don't know, the whole thing. Whenever I have to create my own guy, I'm never good at it. But I like that they give you different options for the button presses. And with baseball, with me, I've always had the issue with other games and franchises where it's either too easy or too hard. Like, I'm always looking for that middle ground of like,
Really?
The MLB The Show one, that's like the hardest version of pitching, is like shape, doing the little tracing.
Yeah.
Almost like a Harry Potter, like wand movement.
Uh-huh.
And I could not do that. And then I tried the meter one, which is the more traditional one. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do that, but I found the pulse one they do is my sweet spot. It still gives a little bit of challenge, but
I are different animals on this, man. I like simple. I am trying to numb my brain when I'm playing. Just like, okay, see ball, hit ball. Like, I just,
oh, you do this the time. You don't do the cursor for batting. You just do timing.
Yep. Just timing.
I do the cursor, but the thing is, having the Dodgers roster in 2025 is a cheat code in itself, because they don't even do the right lineup. Like, they have like Freeman batting leadoff. And I remember, like, I started Shohei in the leadoff position, and their little guy was like, this seems like a strange move to put Shohei in leadoff position, given he's a cleanup hitter. And I was like, tell that to Dave Roberts. Yeah, I don't think he should be leadoff.
I agree. I agree with that, but that's a whole other thing. But just one last little bit of sports information.
Yeah.
You know, I knew that the Dodgers weren't going to end off picking up the polar bear. What's his name?
Oh, Pete Alonso.
Yeah, Pete Alonso. Who ended off picking up
Alonso? I honestly, I had made a note to myself to congratulate you.
The Orioles did. So I'm like, I get to still root for him. That's cool. Even though when the Orioles put out a big contract, that means his career is going down.
I think we've shared this a couple of times in the past couple of weeks. I've been listening to a lot of Mets podcasts in the last couple of weeks.
I have not schadenfreude at any other teams.
It's a little sad.
Last 2 weeks.
I guess it's a little sad to listen to the Mets, but anywho, everybody, this is
shit. I wanted to share. Also, everybody, I went golfing at Dodger Stadium. It was pretty cool. I just wanted to throw that out there.
What is this even? Sometimes when we do our podcast, I'm like, this is so enjoyable to me, but I'm like, I don't actually know what this is. What are we doing? Or we're discussing
Mr. Hanky's Christmas classics.
Again, same question.
Yeah, I don't know where to. Fighting the Frizzies coming at 11.
Fighting the Frizzies, everybody.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Baseball and Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Baseball on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseblown Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
Welcome to the Siren Songbook, a podcast where we discuss female artists, their music, their history, and the impact they've made on the music industry. Join us each month as we pick a new inspirational artist and celebrate exactly what it is that makes them so magical.
You can listen to new episodes of the Siren Songbook on Spotify every last Wednesday of the month. The Siren Songbook, a Baseball Entertainment podcast.
All right, we're back in, everybody. So as we were just discussing, Colton and I, we're not doing, if you went on Spotify and listened to the album version of Mr. Hanky's Christmas Classics, we're not doing any of the additional songs that were thrown on there.
Also, if you have ever, in the history of listening to this podcast, listened to what we've listened to before listening to the episode, I want you to email us at what is our email? no.your.writes.podcast@gmail.com. And if you're thinking you don't need the dots, we do. We don't care.
Yeah, we're not going to get it if you don't put the dots in.
Yeah, we refuse. And also, if you have ever sent us an email, email us at no.your.rights.podcast@gmail.com. Podcast.
I'm starting to think that the times that maybe there were some listeners who didn't put the dots in, and that's why we haven't gotten
people put the dots in.
Yeah, you got to put the dots in.
You got to. But yeah, luckily we're all now on the same page, and that's great. Can I ask why? Why? And that sounded like an accusation. It wasn't. I'm curious. I think you briefly touched on this. What's the deal here?
It just seemed fun. It seemed like a fun thing to end the year off with. Let's listen to some goofy songs. Let's listen. I remember us both being South Park fans at the beginning of this friendship. I don't know where that's landed now.
Well, maybe let's start there, because this is a South Park, everyone, if you're unfamiliar. Yeah. This is a South Park Christmas episode. It aired in 1999, actually December 1st, 1999, which, good Lord, how old were we? I was...
probably 11. 12, 13, yeah, somewhere, yeah, 12, yeah. I think 12 for me.
Definitely, I mean, third season, so I can remember vividly.
Episode 15.
Yeah, I think you can too. When South Park came on that first season, it was in like I don't even want to try to figure out what age I was. I think I was probably third grade, it was around there, but man, like, the buzz of that show, like, there were adult animated shows, of course. The Simpsons were always on. I loved watching that. But the buzz of, like, how funny that show was across all, like, elementary school boys, it seemed geared specifically towards, was high.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't even recall why there was such a buzz going on at the time. But I remember, like, going, like, I got to watch this first episode. This is a big show. I had no idea about, like, because they had, what was it, the Jesus versus Santa?
Right. That's short. Like the very first thing they've done. It was like, this was back people were like, I want to say the good old days, kind of, right? Like the internet was a thing, a little, but not really. And they were like producing animated shorts and sending them out to like executives and things. They had done other things. They did like Cannibal the Musical. And
yes,
there's, I think I have always been a fan of Matt Stone, Trey Parker as just like creative forces. And
yeah,
I always think it's funny that people consider them today as be kind of like a centrist, like non-political entity. I've always found them to be fairly progressive in a lot of ways.
I think so too, but they do find a way to kind of mask it as apolitical.
I agree with that. And I think that's maybe part of what I appreciate is that they're way more kind of like anarchic than anything to me. Mm-hmm. And I think just like their approach to like art and satire, I think is just across all of their body of work, right? The musicals, the movies, whatever I've appreciated. Definitely this episode and most of what I remember of the early South Parks is like 10-year-old Colton, like sneaking into my parents' bedroom because they couldn't watch it on the big TV. We didn't have cable there. And like watching, like literally it's like, you know, in the movies where you watch like the kids trying to watch like the adult programs and it's like all the like static fuzz.
Yeah.
Trying to,
it
was me trying to watch South Park through all the static. And like, as like my parents would come in, I'd try to change the episode because I wanted to know I was watching this. Clearly, even at that age, I knew it was like, oh, I should be watching this. This is.
No, I watched the very first episode of South Park with my grandma. And she had to like every commercial break kind of let me know, I'm okay with you watching this, but don't repeat this at school. Don't tell your parents we are watching this together.
You know? That is. We definitely, my mom and dad took, I think it was me and Nicole, my middle sister. I don't know why. I don't remember Kim being there, but we went and saw the South Park movie that they created, Bigger, Longer, Uncut.
Yep.
And that was one of the more kind of excruciating movie experiences of my life because I don't remember how old I was. I was young and we were so excited. And my dad, like, he laughed his ass off, man. He thought it was hilarious. Like, but also they were like, oh, we shouldn't have brought these two children to this show.
There's a like, we have to have a talk after this. It is good humor, and it's weird with even some of the songs we're about to discuss. For anybody who's involved with, you know, with like woke culture, a lot of the lyrics are not going to come across as being culturally sensitive, but that's just kind of the humor behind it. And that's kind of what Matt Stone and Trey Parker set out to do, to where it's like, nobody's safe. We're going to make fun of everybody. And unfortunately in this episode Jewish people get a large brunt of it.
I would say that's part of it. I would think, I mean, here's the thing, I would consider myself a part of woke America.
Sure.
I am woke America cult.
Again, I think we're progressive. we identify with South Park as a progressive show.
It was actually, I'll say this, what was interesting listening to the these songs, the holiday spirit of this, I definitely clutched my metaphorical pearls several times where I was like, man, I forgot they used to go this hard. And also I would say not necessarily satirical. Like they're little like slight bits and I can see some of it. Like, I guess what we'll go through this song by song. Right.
I figure we're going to do the exact same approach to I don't know, for me, the overrated, underrated, best song, worst song.
I know which one I thought was the funniest, and I know which one I thought I was like, I don't get that one. That angle doesn't work for me. But
that is funny. I have a theory on which song offended you the most.
My favorite South Park Christmas special is still the Critters. What is it?
The Christmas Critters. Yeah.
That is still
Hail Satan.
Yeah, still funny. Still objectively funny to me. And like the Red Sleigh Down.
Oh, man. What an episode.
there are good South Park Christmas
episodes. Jesus comes back and he's just a badass fucking knifing people in the throat.
It's great. Yeah, and then it's like every Christmas now we will commemorate Jesus. I think there's like just it was this episode being like the Christmas special also episode, right? Like whenever like, you know, taking up Christmas songs in that, I could see it. It's funny because we've had enough Christmas episodes now that I think it's, I don't have to keep repeating this, but I'm always amazed every Christmas season about what I'm willing to put up with musically to get into the Hollywood cheer. And like, I'm doing it again. And I'm still like, what is wrong with me? Like, why am I enjoying these songs? But
it's because you're going to be miserable the rest of the year. You got to enjoy at least some of the year.
And so even getting into this now, I'm like, you know what? It's still, it's Christmassy. There's something about like, and whatever holiday you're celebrating, like the vibe of it, I'm in. Today, I had a holiday themed coffee drink from Phil's Coffee.
Nice.
I went, damn it, I'm in. Yeah. Put peppermint in anything and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that's cool. I gave your sister the gift of me getting my ass kicked in fantasy football. So
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Okay, so we are, I guess,
without further ado. Yeah.
I mean, we got 10 songs. So we got number one.
This is a song I felt like you would get the most offended by because I know you're not.
Mr. Hanky the Christmas Poo, the theme song?
Yeah, but you're not a fan of like poop jokes.
I don't like it. No, I don't like the, and I didn't, even as a kid, I did not like Mr. Hanky. Like, I don't care about him. Like, he can go. And I don't think he's been around for a long time, to which I say good.
Yeah, but I mean, there's the humor of how it starts off with kind of the Fred Astaire character coming in, the mailman.
Oh, hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah, we all heard of Rudolph and his shiny nose.
I really love this theme song. I've said it before, like they are good lyric writers and like they've done other
I'm gonna push back on this. I'm gonna challenge you on this.
They can be good lyric writers. How about that?
But for this song.
Oh, it's fine. It's good. It's good. I don't have like a I think for most of this episode I'm gonna turn off whether or not I think everything is bad. How about
everything
that?
Yeah, if we're gonna go off of strict songwriting, bad. Yeah.
I actually think the Christmas in Hell is Christmas Time in Hell. I know we're skipping ahead, but
yeah, dude, hold on a second.
I'm just saying everything is bad. That's actually that has chops. Like that has like what I'm used to.
Okay.
South Park, but
some Conor Oberst going on. And
I just South don't Park have Park. A like. I don't care about Mr. Hanky.
Mr. Hanky is a funny freaking character to me. I think it's a nice satire on Christmas, where it's like, let's just turn a piece of shit into a representative of Christmas.
I'm trying.
I find that to be humorous.
That's true. The whole first episode of like Kyle believing in him and nobody else.
When he throws the poop at Cartman, it's a funny moment, man. It's juvenile, sure, but that's also part of comedy. It's like we're laughing at the most stupid scenario. But in this song, I mean, what is it though? Like, put me in your mouth and try to say, you know, like that's a moment where I'm like, that's gross. I figured that was going to be a huge turnoff for you.
Well, I don't know, man. Like, that stuff doesn't offend me. It, like, I'm just like, oh, that's not nice. That's a bad. But I'm not like offended. I'm not,
maybe
like,
offended is the wrong word, but grossed out.
I don't like it. I want to stop talking about it. Is that a good indicator?
That's a good indicator. I'm not going to stop talking about it. But
so number two,
dreidel,
dreidel, dreidel.
Number two, huh?
Oh Lord. The actual dreidel song is very fire. Like, I really like that song.
Fire. Yeah.
It is very good. Like it's like as far as a like Christmas holiday, or not Christmas, literally not Christmas, but as a like holiday jingle. I think that song is, I mean, like Jewish folk melodies are always really interesting to me because they're so repetitive in a certain way. Like But weirdly, still like compelling. I don't know what else to say.
I completely agree, and I'm gonna dive into just like kind of character development throughout South Park on this. The relationship between Kyle and his brother Ike is one of the most heartwarming relationships on the entire show. So I just love that it starts off with him going like, "I'm your older brother. I have to teach you about these traditions." I'm like, "Oh, that's actually kind of a heartwarming moment."
Yeah.
And then steps in Cartman.
Well, and this is the whole, like, Cartman as an idea on this show is always, like, who is the most, like, id, like, basically he becomes the mouthpiece of every awful piece of ideology the show can think of. And it's, like, put into the mouth of, like, this child. And it's, like, again, satire-wise, they've always more or less been, I think, enabled to thread how they do that. But yeah, I mean, it's not funny. Like, I don't think that's the thing. It's like, I honestly don't think it's funny. Also,
I see. I still think it's funny because of the character Cartman. Cartman has that. It's just like he's an evil kid.
It's, you know what's funny about this is I think that's also our, the bar that we have now for satire of, like, when I say our, I mean like literally how our culture, like,
societal takes it in. Yeah.
Since it's been changed because he's basically destroyed satire, I think, weirdly enough, like, I think people have been able to attempt it. And I think South Park has, like you've said, like, they've done, I haven't seen any of these episodes. I don't watch South Park anymore. And not because I don't hate South Park. I just literally don't want to. I don't know. I have other stuff.
That's
I
do. Right.
But
that's right. Mr. Garrison plays a mean.
I've heard that. But I think what's tough is, to me, that level of, like, what they were, I don't think they were consciously using Cartman in that way as they were later.
I agree.
It makes sense. And I think that I appreciate there's, like, a middle ground of South Park that was after this stage, basically before was elected in 2016. Because I think that's also where I think they started to struggle. And mm-hmm. I think I stopped watching at all at that point. And this is where, to me, it's, I don't know, it's tough. It's not cool, but it's also, like, the whole thing about his dad, Kyle's dad, talking about Courtney Cox, that's funny.
It's funny, right?
There's funny things.
And I think I appreciate the fact because, A, I always love this in song. Anyway, I love when there's a lot of vocals going at the same time and singing kind of different melodies. But I love the fact that he comes in, Tori's just like, hey, guys, can I join in? And they all start together with all of them singing the same part. And then it cuts out and it's him singing, you know, like, Courtney Cox, I love you. You know, and then
it's just and talk about, like, a 1999, like, how to date your show. Like,
yeah, what a reference. What a topical reference at that particular moment. But it's great. And it just, what is, Sheila, I believe, is the name of
Kyle's mom.
Yeah, Kyle's mom. Tori's just like, we're going to talk about this later. And then they all go right back into this big piece. And to me, on a musical level, I think it's wonderful. I think it works great.
It's, I mean, it again, there's a clear love of musicals that they've always had.
Sure.
That have always been, like, very, I mean, like, you know, the Cannibal thing they did before, which isn't good, but
no, it's not. Like, I've seen it and it's like it's interesting, but
you can tell there's, like, I feel like in a lot of ways they're theater kids first before Perfect. Anything yeah. else. Like, I know they're punk rock and they have all these other things, but there's a lot of that.
But I agree. Yeah, the theater kids thing is, it's kind of perfect because I've seen Trey Parker play piano, and I don't know if he's, you know, classically trained, but he can get down on piano. And I mean, Matt Stone, also a musician. Like, these guys have musical minds. I mean, I see it all the time on South Park.
I'm looking at the personnel for this album/episode. Trey Parker, electric and acoustic guitars. Matt Stone.
I was stunned he didn't play piano.
Bass guitars, drums, and percussion. They're on this record, man. They're yeah,
they play. Did you ever see? I recommend it. I don't know if you ever will watch it, but they did a live at, what is it, Red Rocks?
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did a live at Red Rocks where they did a whole bunch of, not just South Park. I think they also did Team America. They just did kind of all the songs that they had written for their projects.
Mm-hmm.
And watching, I mean, Matt Stone on bass and drums, Trey Parker on piano throughout almost all of it. But it was a good live show. I'm like, you guys are musicians. Now, to be fair, there's a difference to me between writing a serious song and a silly song. You can get away with a lot more on the goofy side of it, but regardless, it felt like a really strong performance. Where I'm like, yeah, you guys are musicians, you are songwriters, for however you want to take it,
and that they do write songs, right? Uh-huh. They, and I think that's also the tricky thing about this as, like, a collection, right? Is there's a threshold here, or I guess like a bar criteria that I'm holding of, like, the sheer novelty of. I mean, that's always been their deal anyway, right? The animation's always been crappy looking, right? And everything's been very, like, punk rock-esque, right? Yeah. Which I think is what we've always been kind of into anyway, like the aesthetics of it. And so then the fact that there's any amount of, like, intelligent thought and intent to the writing always gets you a little bit more like, oh, but wait, what? Like, this is like a weird flash animation, whatever. And I think the songwriting carries that too. Like, you're not expecting it to be good because these things usually aren't good. Like, I think the only other cartoon I could think of that does serviceable, like big musical numbers is like Family Guy.
Right? I figured we were going Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, because Seth MacFarlane, he is like a musical classic. He knows what he's doing. And I also don't think Family Guy has been funny for a long time.
Been a while. Yes.
But I still give them their bona fides, right? They got it.
Again, if it's all for the sake of humor, I'm okay with it. If you're trying to write a good album and you fall short of it, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to ridicule. If you're trying to write something kind of humorous, I got a pretty long leash.
I have used this quote before, and so I won't like overindulge it, but in the words of Patrice O'Neill, but I am paraphrasing from what Patrice O'Neill said, rest in power, of course. He was talking about this with jokes, so I'm going to switch it to songwriting, but good and bad songs, and in this case, good and bad, like satirical songs, they come from the same place in that they all come from the same well that you're trying to craft into something meaningful with intent. And in this case, like with humor and the right amount of edge. And in that way, I'm always in support of satire as a practice. I think, and I'll say this with this song, and I'll say it in one other case. I think the thing that South Park was more guilty of when they first started, but it was also when they were rougher around the edges, is punching down instead of up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and that's and if you're unfamiliar, anyone else, listeners, right? Like with satire, humor, or any of that, it's punching down as in like punching to those who are without power and subjugated versus those who are with power. And I think that's something South Park excels at, right? When they know who is in power, like they are really good, right?
When they punch up, it is fantastic. It's really what turned around the entire franchise for me.
Right. And I do think that there's something they're not always sure of because things flip around too. But like there are parts where I'm not as interested when it doesn't feel like they're doing that. But in the spirit of that, the next song is Tannenbaum by Adolf Hitler.
Which is essentially part of the following song as well.
Let's just fold them in because I do feel connected, right? Christmas Time in Hell, which. I think that's a great song, man.
It's very entertaining. When I was a little kid listening to this song or watching this for the first time, I was like, why are they saying these particular people went to hell? To where I was trying to look into the history of these people. Like, what did they do that was so freaking bad? And I was like, oh, no, the joke is that virtually everybody goes to hell.
Yeah, exactly, And I was kind of the same. And I think they did this actually with the movie also, where they had a girl, and I think they kind of mentioned it briefly, but it's like JonBenet Ramsey, and it's like so clearly awful, right? But I think of this list of celebrities, the one that made me just chuckle in terms of like how random it was Michael Landon.
Michael Landon, his hair still looks great, but he's dangling from the chains in the background. I feel bad because we're kind of skipping over like Hitler doing Un Tannenbaum.
Who cares? Screw Hitler.
It's I mean, fuck Hitler, but it's the funniest thing to me that there's like this charming moment between Hitler and Satan.
No, but I do think the Christmas Time is Hell is where, like, that's a musical.
Christmas Time in Hell.
Christmas Time. What did I say?
Is Hell.
Well, for some people. But no, it's like genuinely, like, it has like all the big pieces, right? And it's is it like a good musical number? It is one.
I think so. Yeah,
I think it's pretty good. I mean, I think the up there from if we were doing the South Park movie, like those songs are like genuinely good. Like that is a great musical. That's actually a better musical, I think, than any of the other, like Book of Mormon, which I liked, right? Book of Mormon.
I haven't fully seen it. I've just seen like clips of it.
I mean, I haven't seen like the musical, but I've like most people living in California, I've listened to the soundtrack before.
There you go.
But those are good, right? But I do think the movie and like the Hell song they have there, Up Hell, which is basically, it's just the Little Mermaid, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like amazing. Like actually a really great. This is, I mean, you know, Training Wheels, but it's still good.
I think that's actually key. That's a really good thing to bring up. This does feel like it's their first real venture. I'm taking out Cannibal.
Yeah,
from this, but it's like this feels like their first venture, and like this is strictly trying to write something kind of musical esque, mm-hmm. and it is the kind of the training wheels tour. It's like we're gonna try this out just for one episode.
Yeah.
So you don't have any categories for these first three?
I haven't hit any of them yet. I only have my favorite, my least favorite.
That's fair. You know what?
These
I'm
the only ones I got.
I'm gonna rock the same thing then.
I could give you an overrated. Do you want an overrated?
Yeah, give me an overrated.
You overrated the care. I want to go back to our Christmas song.
Oh, draft. No. Well, wait.
Overrated.
Well, wait.
Mr. Mackey is an overrated character. And Carol of the Bells, which also was a bad song. Like some of, like I should actually go at some of these as like just the songs themselves. Carol of the Bells sucks, man.
Great tune. By Mr. Mackey. It's wonderful.
Weird. And I
the
I
fact
didn't like
that
it
they
the
snuck
draft.
In, okay, and you know what, whatever, you ended off winning that Christmas draft, I'm pretty sure. So
it wasn't on record. I feel bad about that. I feel like I got my victory stripped. That's what this all is. I'm salty.
That was my intention.
I'm salty, everybody.
We're jumping a little ahead on that, but I'm going to, you know what, fine, you burn.
No, that's the next
overrated.
One. That's number five.
Is it number five? Yeah. It is. Okay, well then I'm going underrated. Take that.
That
take
canceled. That clearly cancels out my overrated. Now it's just rated.
What I do like is that they fit in the MK, and that's I know right. That's really simplistic. You know,
really right to the character. That's nice.
Yeah, like I found it to be funny, and I actually think the visual aspect to it all is pretty enjoyable with him with the bell as a like helmet thing.
I'm trying to remember what episode it was where he somehow like he does drugs. And it's just like his head floating across the screen.
Yeah, when he turns into a balloon. Yeah.
I don't know where I get all these memories from, but I can visualize that in my brain.
You get them from Matt Stone and Trey Parker. Thanks,
thank
guys.
This is not my favorite, but
it's so fun.
It's genuinely funny is yeah. Cartman singing O Holy Night, because it's just, it's exactly how whenever I sing Holy Night, which I also don't. Most like religious Christmas songs, uh-huh. I don't like. They all kind of suck to me.
I can't agree with that, but I do
songs.
Get it.
Yeah. Nothing suck. But this idea he doesn't know the words is really fun.
I have such a Mandela effect when he does that, like, oh, here the angels something voices. I always remembered that the angels, those big angels in the backdrop. I remember them having like arched eyebrows, like they were angry that he forgot the lyric. I've watched this episode a few times and I'm like, oh man, they don't make the angry face. I always, and it was so funny to me in my head that the angels were angry at him for not remembering the lyric.
Were I your psychologist, I would say, I think that's you projecting their own anger at you for watching that episode from your little.
Could
year,
be.
Like.
It could be. Yeah. I think I'm, I feel so much guilt for watching this.
Thank goodness I'm not your psychologist. No, but funny.
Oh yeah, it's super funny when he snatches the gifts out of the three wise men's hands. And he's just hopping up and taking it. And also the animation for everybody who's in the like kind of Bethlehem scene, like mm-hmm. their heads aren't shaped like your cliche South Park characters. I find that to be it's the humor in the animation that I just love so much.
Time passing is such a weird effect. I don't think our parents and like people that were older than us, our teachers, everyone, mm-hmm. I just don't think they ever fully impressed upon us how odd it is to get older, because no time has gone by. And yet this is over 20 years old, what we're talking about. Like yeah. This is like to think of what the 80s means to us versus my kids today, where the 80s feels like the 40s or 50s. Like it's,
yeah.
It's such a, and I know people who are listening are like, yes, Colton, that's how time works. I'll never get over that. When I am an old man, I will not get over how strange this is. But
I completely agree. If I were to watch this with my bandmate's kid, I could be like, this is stupid. I'd be like, no, it's not stupid. This is like, or them thinking this is old. No, it's not old. This is friggin' new.
Because like 1999, this is like the Matrix. This is, and don't ask like kids in like the 10 to 20. Do not ask them mm-hmm. about things like The Matrix, because they don't know what that is. The reason I'm bringing all this up is that this song made me remember when everybody had a Cartman impression. And like, you would go to like the, you know, this is a very Lancaster AV specific reference. So prepare yourselves, everybody.
I'm preparing myself.
Antelope Valley Mall in the food court, across the street from the, across the way from the food court, there was the movie theater, right?
Yeah.
And then there was, next to the movie theater, there was that one gift, like gag store that sold t-shirts, like mainly t-shirts. And they had, it closed down like years and years ago. It hasn't been there for a while.
Okay. But okay.
They had, you know, different sort of themed t-shirts, and they had like Eat My Shorts, like Bart Simpson. And they had so many at one point, just South Park, like just Cartman as a cop going Respect My Authority, like all the, and South Park was such a huge part of culture for a long time. It was like everybody having an Austin Powers voice. Like you just had it.
You bring up the shirts. All I can think of is pro wrestling was also really big at that time. So it was all about your slogans. What can you put on a t-shirt to just make more merch to make more money?
That's South Park, very true.
Yeah. And South Park had quotes for days.
It is.
I mean, I got in trouble. I literally got sent home in elementary school because I was wearing, you remember the No Rules t-shirts?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I had the No Rules to where they had kind of the mock four characters on it. Uh-huh. I got sent home for that shirt because the principal knew what it was mocking. And like you can't wear South Park paraphernalia at this school.
That's how
impactful South Park was for anybody who's who's on the younger side listening to this.
And that's
South Park had a major impact.
And it was such a, like, as I'm talking to you about this, I'm trying to put myself back into like elementary school Colton. The taboo of, it's funny because I put a number of different cultural artifacts in the same box when I was in elementary school, like things I was interested in, but I also had like an inherent like built-in morality. Like my parents never sat me down and were like, don't listen to this, don't do this. But there was just a instilled in me. I was like, when I would see like a Marilyn Manson video come up, I would be interested. Like the imagery would be so alien and crazy to me.
Yeah.
And artists that were, you know, like Rob Zombie, I guess would be another one. Like, I think when I consider, I don't want to like analyze myself too much of like, is that why I like horror now? I don't know. I don't like Marilyn Manson now, but there was always a kind of, oh, I'm not supposed to be watching this. Like there's something about this that it's beyond the pale for me. And South Park was in that box for a long time where I was like, this is like
very interesting.
In some way I am over my skis. And I don't know when it was that I was sort of out of that. I know like in college, we watched South Park every week. It was always excitement for what was coming out in college. I think when I graduated from college, I just stopped. Like, probably because I lost cable.
See, maybe. My suspicion is that you did that because you're like, well, now it's time to be an adult.
I mean,
even though maybe you've done a bad job with that.
I was going to say subconsciously, but also my viewing habits today, I don't know if I would say more adult. So, the next song is actually the one I think is the worst.
This is my least favorite song.
Yeah, the Mr. Garrison, Merry Effin' Christmas. This is like the punching. I get the joke, right?
Yeah, I feel like I'm inside on the joke, but it's almost like, have you ever had a friend who overuses the inside joke?
Yeah,
that's how this feels to me.
And it kind of feels like at a certain point you're like, I think we both get the joke, and then like halfway through I'm like, I don't think they get the joke. Like it's starting to shift over. But if you're unfamiliar, everybody, the whole joke of this, like, in Mr. Garrison is this class teacher that is also, like Cartman, usually on the wrong side of most things.
Exactly. Right. About as evil as Cartman, just
And the whole idea is like, it's said, it's like, oh, how do other people celebrate the holidays during Christmas? Da, da, da. And then it just proceeds to be like, hey, person from another culture, Merry effing Christmas. And it's the whole idea is like American, sort of like almost imperialistic, like celebrate our holiday. We're the best.
Yeah, which initially it starts off where I'm like, okay, I see the humor in this. It's like, okay, we're poking fun at like trying to push our values onto other countries. But then it just does start to reach like that last verse when he goes to Japan. I'm like, This is a little too hard.
At certain point, you're like, I kind of feel like there's a little too much, what do you call it? They put a little polish in that one.
Yeah, like, I'm wondering when I'm like, hey, Matt Stone, Trey Parker, I almost want to sit down with you guys and be like, hey, you don't mean this, right?
Yeah, it's also from like I guess like there's like the comedy rule of like of threes, so I get there's like that part, but it's not the best, and it's also like the most kind of rote musical arrangement too. It's just a da 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 da, like
yeah, like let's speed it up a little bit. It's just not the song for me.
It's not the business. I saying that early South Park has aged poorly is hard, because it's like South Park has always had a kind of immediacy to it, where that's, I think, part of the risk of how they write shows. But, you know, this didn't age great.
It didn't age great. It's weird to say that I was kind of offended by this song, because it is talking about South Park that's trying to offend any and everybody. But on the plus side, guess who Mr. Garrison turns into later on the show?
Of course.
Yep. This all makes sense.
The ultimate Voldemort.
There you go.
I have to confess something. I listened to the I Saw Three Ships performed by Shelley Marsh, and I believe they wrote her character off right after the actress or the voice actor died.
I was going to say Mary Kay Bergman. Mm-hmm. I think she committed suicide, sadly, about a month before this. But they had recorded all these songs beforehand.
I see.
And so, yeah, I think Shelley ends up getting written off. The bus driver at one point gets written off. She did the voice for so many of the female characters throughout the show.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where I honestly just do not remember this song.
I remember the joke of it,
but
I remember definitely the like, shut up, turds. Like, I find the song to be very funny. Watching it, I found it to be very funny, and the fact that they get crushed by the piano at the very end is humorous. But the song is a nothing burger.
Yeah,
it's her doing a cover of I Saw Three Ships Come Sailing In, and it's Stan and Kyle just chuckling at her performing it so poorly.
It does feel like it was the we ran out of other things to do. Mm-hmm. Slightly. I have to tell you, we're at number 9, the Christmas medley with Jesus and Santa Claus.
Are we about to agree?
1, 3, 2, 1.
Best song?
Best, and like, it's funny because it's literally like a bunch of songs, but like as a piece, right?
As it's a hilarious piece, as a visual gag to it all. I mean, that piano player, that little smile he has on his face, I mean, I don't know how to describe it, but that just jolly smile on his face cracks me up every time. But yeah, like the entire flow of this song is so good.
And comedically, it's the funniest to me in that it's like, it's played straight initially. And I'm like, these are literally just, it's Jesus singing all of the like Jesus centric holiday songs, and then Santa doing all the Santa ones. And then at some point, Santa goes into Rio, right?
It's the moment right before that too, to where Jesus just keeps doing it, and Santa's trying to remember. You're going like, wait, hold on, I'm running out. Right when he hits Rio by Duran Duran?
I think it's Duran Duran. Yeah.
When he hits that moment, it's fantastic. And then right after it, when he's walking away, and like Jesus is like, oh, come on, man, I'm sorry. And he's like, no, fuck you, Jesus. That is one of the funniest lines on South Park ever.
And I think it's honestly because those two as like Jesus Christ as a figure and then Santa Claus as a cultural figure, but also they are characters on the show that are separate from those things. And the characters are good. Like, and they have like their own
great
kind of weird romance, right? Across the show.
Yeah.
And it is so funny. Yeah. When Santa Claus he's upset because there's more Jesus songs than Santa Claus songs. And he's like, there's more songs about you. Whenever I do a Santa, by the way, everybody, I'm doing a South Park Santa.
You are doing the South Park Santa, and it's wonderful.
But I'm Santa.
That's strictly South Park right there.
That was great.
Oh, it's so good. And even when he goes like, but the weather outside is frightful, and then you just hear Santa in the background like, aw. those sounds. The humor of South Park is definitely like in the artwork and just certain little sound effects that always crack me up. It's not even so much jokes. It's not always punchlines to me. It's just the delivery of it all.
I agree with that. And that is, and this is where, this is probably the most kind of clear of like what they would become. Like when I hear, when I feel them kind of like on all cylinders, it's like, God, I couldn't even name a season because some of them feel so separate from me. But like some of my favorite South Park episodes are ones where it doesn't feel like it's so much commenting on some kind of like specific thing. It's just funny. Like the Cartman Awesomeo episode where he's a robot.
Yeah. It's just Crickin' Butters.
It's just funny. Right. And I think it's something about when South Park plays things straight. And like the joke is how straight they're playing things. That to me is where they're kind of in the pocket. And I think this is a good early example of that.
Well, and one that we actually passed up that I just have to go back to. So during Oh Holy Night, the moment when Cartman looks into the crib to look at baby Jesus and it's the Jesus head on a baby body. Like it's those type of just, it's so stupid, but I laugh. LOL, everybody.
That's pretty great. And now I was actually going to ask you this. Did we have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas on either of our Christmas drafts?
We did on the first one. I think we did on the first one because I think I made mention of it. It's always funny to me watching this version of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas because my mom cries at this song.
It's a beautiful song.
It's a beautiful song. Yeah. And so I can't help but laugh when I see Mr. Hanky, like, you know, floating in a toilet, starting this off.
It is a good one. And it's, I mean,
funny enough.
What's that?
I think that they kind of actually capture the spirit of the song a little bit in the animation of it all, in the performance of it all. It's goofy because, I mean, yes, it's the slow zoom out.
It's all of them.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, once the four of them are singing together, and then of course Kenny gets crushed by a fucking chandelier.
That was the other thing that in elementary school we could not all wrap our brains around, is that the same character dies every episode, and it is like so weird that that's something that like was just,
I think it's a brilliant idea. It worked out so perfect where I'm like, I want to be a fly on the wall when they were like, hey, this one kid in the characters, he's going to die every episode.
And now I remember when they actually at a certain point like actually killed him off, and it was like a really sad episode of Kenny getting sick. And then they build the ladder to heaven. Where were you when they built that ladder to heaven?
I don't want to sing the next line. It is funny to me, but I don't like using that word anymore.
No, but that's the thing is like later down the line, like to see where they are now versus where they get to, it's interesting. I think there is a, for anyone who is critical of South Park now from like either aisle that we want to talk about, I would say there's a fair amount of heart in what they do.
Absolutely. There's really no show, and this is one of my favorite shows of all time, everybody. South Park is one of my favorite shows of all time. There's no way I'm going to love a show if there's no heart in it.
Yeah,
like I got to see some humanity taking place within, even for something as like that can be as offensive as South Park, as really like trying as South Park. There are moments, like I said earlier, like Ike and his brother, or Ike and Kyle. I think that's a beautiful relationship. I probably could think of other ones, but they're not going to pop in right this minute because I am just thinking about the 9/11 song.
And I would say most of their like sharpest critiques, like even like this stage, but later on too, I'd say, in like even when they're like in Team America, right, where they're taking down Hollywood, and I think. Yeah. Sadly, I think a lot of people don't get that movie, like what they were actually criticizing.
Super sadly. Yeah.
But I think what I've found anytime that they're like criticizing, for example, the left, I think if they're criticizing them for a lack of sincerity versus what they actually believe. Because I think that is anyone who is like considering South Park as a kind of like libertarian or whatever. And like, I could get into what I think is either of their like political stances. I don't care, to be honest.
I don't want to think about it too much. Yeah, I agree.
It's, to me, it's always had a very kind of punk rock sensibility to it. But then at the essence of it is like, there are values that we have, and there are people who perform those values rather than actually support them. And I think that's something the show has always been interested in. And having a song like this last one, where they play it straight, right? It does show a hint of that. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, there's a sense, like, there has to be something that matters in this show for their critiques to land. If nothing matters, then that's what I think Family Guy kind of screws up, is they don't care about their characters in Family Guy. And so I don't. They're funny. They can be. Yeah. But there's no core. There has to be a core.
I think South Park nailed it the best, where it's just Family Guy is just like, it's a quick little dumb joke. That's all it's for. And like, that's how the entire show goes. Like,
written by manatees.
Exactly. Written by manatees with a whole bunch of balls. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, South Park has character development. It has story development to make the joke that much funnier. And some of the ones that I really think are brilliant, I don't feel comfortable saying on something I'm being recorded on, but they have moments where I'm like, that's an unbelievable joke that turns into an unbelievable point of social commentary.
I agree with that. And is most of that in this collection of songs? No. But
no, this is purely
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It is the December episode of South Park. Like, let's take a break from overthinking things here.
Oh, man. Yeah. If you were going to, I'm putting you on the spot like I usually do. To close this up, I guess, if you were going to suggest to anyone who has not watched South Park before, a listener who's like, what's this show all about? By the way, if you don't know, why, like, I'm confused on how we're the one introducing this to you. But what episode would you suggest?
Oh, boy. When they go to outer space.
Yes, the canceled.
Earth getting canceled. That episode is very, very funny.
I do love the, because it's all a joke about contact and it's the taco.
Yeah. the ice cream shitting taco. Yeah. And I mean, even again, probably the hardest I laughed in that entire episode is when it changes to Missy Elliott and it's like, it's yours if you're a friend yet. And they're like, no. Like, but that moment, I started dying laughing. Again, the juvenile spirit in me, but it was funny. But that would be the episode. The other one, I don't want to polarize anybody, but I'll tell you off air.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, but it's a funny one.
I'm going to get scandalized, everybody. You have to. And I will say, everyone, I am not watching it in a long time, but I am not like a South Park. Like, I've always been very, like, from a distance still. Like, I'm happy to see them still doing it. I'm happy that they're, like, when shows are successful to a certain point, it's hard not to feel like success has caused some form of a detraction from like the spirit of what they're doing. What I've always appreciated about South Park is like the, like, write an episode every week, right, and put it out. There's a spirit of what they do that I think is really cool. And I will say, I remember this is in 2020, right? And this was like, again, like Black Lives Matter in 2020, but it wasn't like they weren't around before that, which I always find interesting that that's the year everyone remembered that Black Lives Matter existed, that movement. Mm-hmm. But when that happened, and there was not like a reckoning necessarily, but people were kind of getting back to the Book of Mormon, right? Because it's set in Africa, Uganda, and it's like people were kind of like voicing concerns about what that musical was doing. What I always really appreciated about those two is that they ended up holding a workshop. And I don't know what the inner workings of all this was, if they were forced to. I don't know if it matters to me. It's just the fact that they were willing to hold a workshop with performers, writers that have been doing the musical. They all came together and they said, what can we change for this show to keep working? And they even said at the time, they're like, and this is like, you know, Matt Stone, Trey Parker, anti-PC satirists 101, but they literally like, what can we do to change this musical so that people who do it can feel comfortable doing it and it can stay funny? And I don't know what the changes are. I didn't look into it, but I think just that idea is really cool, because I think it's something that I've grown up and thought more of is I no longer am like, I think by teenage edgelord years, we're just trying to find the parameters of what was like acceptable and like trying to consider what language was and things.
Sure.
And at the end of it, it's like, I just do not like making people feel bad.
Yeah. And you said so many things to that, because I think I've always admired Matt Stone and Trey Parker because they go to the beat of their own drum. They want to poke fun at people. Like it's definitely the same thing, like what you and I will do. Like mm-hmm. I'll pick on you for, you know, I don't know, your haircut or something.
Oh, please,
you know,
like, let's list all the things you want to poke fun
at. I know. That was, right when I said it, I was like, this is not my direct intention.
Your haircut, your nose, your face, the way you talk.
But it's like, it does feel like South Park, the way that they write, it does seem like it comes from a place of love and like trying to create something that is, believe it or not, watching that first season, I still think there's substance to it. They're good enough at like writing this type of dick and fart jokes with a heart, you know.
I believe it, and we don't have to get too much more into this because I think we've covered a lot. But in my brain, when they hit the movie, and I know the movie almost killed them. Like I think it's well recorded that they really did not enjoy making that movie, right? Because they were. But I think that movie for me is a turning point because I think they kind of unlocked, like, that movie is genuinely good, I think. And I think they unlocked a level to their satire and commentary that was really cool. But you know what? I had fun doing this, man. I did not know what this was going to be like.
Same. I'm proud of us. And I think we closed out this year with a pretty decent conversation about something that most people would be like, how the fuck do we discuss this?
That's our MO, man. We take on the impossible and we do a serviceable job. That is the Know Your Rights way. Somewhat meeting low expectations since 2023.
I can't wait for these Know Your Rights t-shirts. All right, guys. Up next, Blamely. Fighting the Frizzies.
All right. Blamely.
DJ Brood is happy to bring you a proper session of music listening at the beginning of every week on Twitch. With rotating themes showcasing new music, hits of the past, and specific genres, there is most definitely something for everyone to enjoy. Tune in every Monday from 5 to 8 p.m. Pacific Time as he broadcasts nothing but musical goodness live from the comfort of his home to the comfort of yours. Bedroom Radio, where there are no Monday blues, just Monday vibes. What happens when you get a bunch of obsessive music lovers sitting around a table and talking about every aspect in music? You get the Untitled Mixtape. Join Dango, Lewis, and Lorenzo in this educational but enjoyable podcast that encourages everyone to branch out and expand what they listen to. From deep dives to letting you know what is a bop or flop, the Untitled Mixtape boys are sure to take care of your music needs every Wednesday on your favorite podcast platform. The Untitled Mixtape, a Bassblown Entertainment podcast.
Okay.
Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back, and everybody.
This is where I slowly panic at the fact that I didn't check with you how we're rating this episode. Ooh. So wait, we have an opportunity here.
Okay.
Let's go from our lowest to highest. Our album scores are out of 5. Mm-hmm. Our discography scores are out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And those are done at this point. We've closed the door and out of 10.
At least for now.
Our song scores are out of 100.
Yeah.
We did a musical. This might apply from Muppet's Christmas Carol and I think Nightmare Before Christmas. Those were our kind of musical movie episodes.
Yes.
They were what? Out of?
I think 2000.
2000. Interesting. Is this the same? It's a TV.
Let's do out of 1,000. Let's do out of 1,000.
Yeah, because it's a TV musical, not a movie musical. That makes
sense. There we go. Yeah. I have no idea how to rate it still.
500? I don't know. This is the Weezer. The new Weezer line. Oh, we've lost the Weezer line, which is sad. But the new, if we ever do another half hour musical parody.
Very unlikely, but we'll see.
This South Park has set the line. This is the line to me. This is the 500.
500 out of 1,000. That's right.
Out of 1,000.
I'll go. Man, I love this episode. I love the show. I'm gonna go. I'll go 700.
We are our own parody. Like everyone that listens to this episode regularly is like, yes, both of them are doing what they need to do. I set a very cynical hardline score, and Rob goes, Well, but you know what? I gotta. It's a little over mine.
You know what? I most of today, I have not been looking on the brighter side of life, everybody. So for this moment, I'm going to look on the brighter side of life.
I find you to be a very positive person. And you know what? We are.
Most of today, I have not been.
We're heading into, man, 2026.
2026, everybody. I hope everybody has had a great 2025. I hope 2026.
Did you have a good 2020? That's a loaded question. You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll say yeah. It wasn't god awful.
You know what I would encourage people to do that I am also doing for myself is like, I think we're a very accomplishment based kind of a society where it's like, what did I accomplish versus what I didn't? And I think it's good to have goals and it's good to achieve goals. But what I've learned to do more for myself is not rate things on a pass or fail scale. For myself, of like,
except for music.
Well, yeah. Well, if it's not my music, it, yeah. But, but I do.
Yeah,
I do think it's like, was I trying to be kind to people, right? And did I have love for people? That's my new, like, I'm trying to do, and I feel like I did that. I'm trying to do that.
Yeah, and you know what? Even more importantly, or not more importantly, but as important, Colton, just give love to yourself.
Hey, you know what? That's right, everyone. Some self love, and that is real stuff.
And one of my own personal New Year's resolutions is to not be gross, and I avoided making the gross joke right after that. So I'm well on my way.
I don't know if you are, because I think even just mentioning it shows that you're not.
I wanted to kind of put it in.
But I'm here to support
heads.
You in whatever way. So we are going to set resolutions. Are these resolutions songwriting specific? Are these?
Well, no matter what, I need to record songs. So I can't even make it a resolution. I just need it to be fact. Like, if I make it a resolution, I'll probably bail on it, like most resolutions from the past. Mm-hmm. I just have to record a lot of songs this next year, or else I might let a lot of people down.
Wow. Okay. I have not had that worry in a long time.
Okay. So you said songwriting resolutions. Do you have a songwriting resolution?
Not necessarily. I don't think so. I have creative resolutions. I have writing projects I've been working on that I'm very excited for. And
such as like books
a couple of books. Okay,
cool.
And that I'm one book that I'm finished with and currently workshopping that I'm excited to kind of see what I can do with, and others. Like, writing has been like a new way for me to, I don't know, like, it's something I've always done and I've had some success. Mm-hmm. I've published a short story, but I'm very,
Was that short story the one that was on the beach?
No, that's from a while ago.
That's a long time ago. You haven't sent me much.
Okay. That I got published in Dark Horses, a weird fiction magazine. But
I'm still waiting for links. I would love to read your work, man.
It's in published, man. I got to send you a book. That's what it is. But I
sent you my address earlier today.
That's
so
right.
You know how to get it.
That's right. But no, I have some of those, but you want to record. See, I'm not looking to record a lot more. I don't want to record. I may be done putting out albums.
There's zero chance for in my life and the people I'm working with, they would, if I come up missing and you haven't heard any new album from me, it's because my bandmates killed me.
Yeah.
Just letting you know.
I think what I've learned is that I am writing songs constantly. Like, I have like multiple songs I'm working on, but I do not think, and this isn't like I'm like trying to be like, I don't think I'm going to release another record.
We'll see. I'm going to try to push them, everybody. I'll try to push them.
I think what I've learned is that it's different. Like, I think you get things out of certain experiences. And what I learned is that I think I wanted to put this out. It was like at a time when I felt like I needed to crystallize the moment I was living in. And what I thought I would get out of that moment, I didn't get from putting out the Cocky Tree. And I like that record, but it's
a great record.
It
has some very stunning reviews.
I think I'm done.
We'll see, everybody.
It's
a long year ahead of us.
I think but anywho, I'm excited to keep writing. I don't know. Hey, I don't have very exciting. I want to do more rowing classes. I've been to crew.
The best it, okay, cool. I've been actually doing rowing as an exercise recently, but the best advice I ever got when it came to playing music was my grandfather told me this when I first was learning guitar, and obviously my eyes were on the stars, and he was like, you know what, even if you don't become a famous musician, music is a great hobby. And more so in the last few years, as I've kind of slowed down in trying to play live shows and record, I've discovered that that's so damn true. Like, if anything, it's nice to come home, pick up the guitar, and like the other day, I picked up the guitar and for no reason whatsoever learned the Thunder Rolls. Just because
you needed to. And the thunder rolls.
Just for some reason, the song popped into my head, and I was like, I'm going to learn this Garth Brooks song. And
I played it. Song, man.
It's a good song. I feel like it teeters off towards the end where it could have had more ambition, which is rare for me to say. But regardless, it just felt good to play it.
How did you know that we were going to do the Chris Gaines album for our?
Was what was next?
That is not what's happening. I agree with you. I think that's maybe where I'm at, is I want to view my songwriting less as like project based and more as I just have always liked writing songs, man.
And it's a good time.
I think it's when, I don't know, I think there's a pressure to, like, with music specifically, right? Mm-hmm. To like make it into a kind of like formulative, like, how do we turn this into a record slash? And it's funny because I feel like I'm just turning into Jimmy Eat World when they said, we think we're done putting out records. And I went, no, put out records. And now I'm like, you know what? I kind of get it.
I get it, except for the fact that there's a difference between you and me and Jimmy Eat World. No offense, Colton.
I don't see a difference.
No offense.
I don't see any difference.
Okay, sure. but more podcast specific, yeah. New Year's resolutions. I have one.
Okay.
I want to bring back the new song segment for the first segment when it's like, hey, heard this newer song. And we just discussed, we could either take turns or we could both have one. But I actually kind of miss that. And I also think it's a little important to where it kind of keeps us on that like new music spectrum of trying to at least keep our ears to the ground. Colton's face totally looks like he's everybody heard, we saw the writings on the wall in the first segment when I kind of said I wouldn't mind doing it.
This is good. This is like good inside baseball to how this podcast works, because one of us suggests something, the other one goes and then we just do it, I think, and I'm fine. I mean, here I'm open to this. I'm open to this discussion. This doesn't sound like a resolution. It sounds like more of, this is what I want to change about our podcast live on air. And then we just start.
That's what I thought that this was going to be. So I apologize.
That's fine.
I might have misinterpreted.
What's my resolution for our podcast? I want more solo episodes. Just me.
Just you? You got a small chance for this next episode.
No, buddy. Are you okay?
I'll be doing it. I have to do it off property. I have to go house it.
Off property. Okay.
So I have to bring my computer. I have to tear down all of my crap and bring it to Tehachapi in order to do the next episode.
You can be live from Tehachapi. I am
D-Snatch.
My actual resolution is I just want to keep recording this with my buddy, my baby guy.
All right. That's all year. Cool.
That's the resolution. New songs or not. Let's do it.
That's fair. You know, if that's yours, that'll be mine too. I'll exclude the new songs.
Amazing. So I need help for this. My turn. Not from you, luckily. Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right.
I have a friend that needs to help me in introducing what we're going to be doing for our next album. Wait, let me call him up. Hello, I'm Santa.
Here I am waiting for somebody to zell in.
By the way, Rob, you owe me $20 on Zelle.
Do I?
Don't skimp out on Santa, Rob. Don't get coal in your stocking. Santa. Colton told me he has to pick an album for the first episode of 2026.
Is it Duran Duran?
We couldn't get the permission for Duran Duran.
Good.
Don't be stupid, Rob. Oh.
Chill out, Santa. I've been a good boy.
Robert.
Have I not been? I thought I made one of those lists.
What's that, Colton? Did you say you don't think you can keep this up? What are you talking about?
No. Keep going, buddy.
I have clues for our first single album of 2026. Right.
Does it have anything to do with you, Santa?
No, this is thematically not related.
Okay.
Colton didn't think that out this far.
Okay. All right. Well, I missed you, Santa.
This is this band's second and final album before they broke up.
Second and final?
They're from Arizona. Oh, oh, oh. I vacation in Arizona sometimes.
But you got to get away from the cold. Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah.
There's nothing funny about that that I can certainly think of, so I have nothing else to add.
Okay, so that's the first hint. All right, second and final album, Arizona Bass Band.
It was released in 2006. Oh, oh, oh.
2006. All right.
I think I sound more like Tim Allen from Tool Time.
He also played Santa, so that's fitting.
Don't bring that up.
I thought he did a great job.
He was a drug mule. He ratted a drug out mule. On his buddies. Santa doesn't play that.
Oh my
stitches
goodness.
Get stitches.
That's oh. You're right, Santa.
Do you know what this is? Please.
No, not yet. I'm currently in stitches. I feel like a snitch.
This album features your favorite animal, maybe. At least your favorite pet animal.
Okay, so it's a dog. My favorite animal, by the way, Santa, is a whale. So, I mean, if you want to get me...
That's a silly favorite animal. Oh, oh, oh.
You know, Santa, I feel like you'd be way more accepting of people's favorite whatever.
Have you ever seen Santa with a whale? Hate whales.
You look like a frickin' whale, Santa.
Robert?
Naughty list, I get it. I know, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Okay. No, I don't know Santa.
How about... I don't know if you know this album, actually, Rob. It's pretty
that
good.
Could very
How
well
about
be the case.
This, Rob? One person from this band left this band to form another band, and they put out two records, and you actually like the second record more than the first, which I think Colton told me is silly, because he said the first album is better than the second one. And in that new band, Clayton Kershaw plays their song every time he comes onto the field.
Oh, shit. I wanted to say Taylor Swift when you said Kershaw.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Am I allowed to Google Santa?
I can't stop. If it will end this, then yes.
You know, Santa, you could always... You have more important things to do if you want to just hand it back over to Colton.
That's he fine. Left. He left minutes ago.
I think that's because of you, Santa. Can you give me a friggin' song, Santa?
Matches? Time Bomb?
Oh, I do feel like
I'm actual. This. Snails?
You know, I'm going to Google it. I apologize for taking up your time.
Okay, I have a really Santa. Good hint. This band played with Jimmy Eat World recently on stage. And they played Hey Jealousy live. It was amazing.
Oh, that's right. Who did they play it with? Because now I want to go with the band that played Hey Jealousy.
I couldn't think of a worse time for this to take this long. Colton made a huge mistake.
I'm sorry, Santa. I'm sorry, Colton. Matches, song. I can't remember. Who was it? Let's just...
We're going to do... Wait, Colton said he's back. Santa, please leave.
Yes, Santa, it was...
Oh,
it was
Merry
great.
Christmas,
Colton,
everybody.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
He seemed very upset by how that went. I don't know. I think he's busy.
He just yesterday did the whole trip around the world thing.
Well, that's true. We are recording this on December 26th, and I forgot about that. We're doing dog problems by the format.
Yeah, see, it would have taken me a minute. Okay, dog problem, the format. I like it.
It is. It
Happy
is,
New Year.
I think it's exceptional. I'm excited to talk. Here's the thing. I thought about it. I actually had been wanting to do this for a long time, and this is perfect because I wanted to do this and not do the first record, which I don't like that much by the format. And I had always been interested in doing a fun episode with you. But I also, at that point, I did not want to talk about Some Nights because, again, that record bums me out. So this is actually perfectly threading the needle.
I think it's going to be great and, yes, fun. Okay, that was the band that he left and started afterwards.
It all comes together.
There's a reason it took me a while to get this because the history is not that connected for me. So I apologize to you, Colton, for I appreciate you letting me talk to Santa. It's been a while.
I mean, he didn't seem like he enjoyed it. I don't know if anybody, listener, if you're still around from after all that, you know, you're a real one. We're in this together.
Speaking of, I can't really close off this episode, so I'm just going to hand it off to Lucky.
Oh, we're doing this. This is all. We're all in this. And who's that? Is this it's me. What's that? The last time I was in this episode.
Maybe that'll be our New Year's resolution is no more characters.
No more characters. I mean, everybody. But, we've done
it. Or more characters. I'm not sure.
You know what? You tell us, everybody. Email.
At no.your.writs.podcast@gmail.com. And you know what? I think everybody's been waiting for this. And now, fighting the Frizzies.